I asked a question. How many of you were in pain? And probably 80% of people in here raised their hands. So we did a little exercise. We found out that sometimes Satan can attack us. Why he has that ability when there's no door open, I don't understand that. But he is able to at times. And so there were, at the end of service, four people stood up and said that the Lord had healed them from that pain that they had been carrying. So I want to ask you, we didn't allow anybody really to share with us what that was. So was anybody the Lord touched last week that you would just like to share just a little bit about what was taking place in your life and what happened from that? Yes, all right, would you go to take that microphone back there? See that guy with the hat on? Take that to him.
I told God, unless you open a door, I'm not going to say anything. I don't know how I'm going to say what I want to say right now, but the last number of months, my wife and I were in sort of a, well, not sort of, but we were in a dark place, financially, medically, and that affected us spiritually as well. And Pastor Brad, I call him Brad because I used to work with him.
Brad's fine.
Truthfully, he's one of the most godly men I've ever met. $20. So he prayed. My wife was down in the kitchen. She was hurting about something, and he came down there and prayed, and the three of us prayed and broke some bondages, broke some word curses over our lives. And we felt like this heavy thing was lifted from our lives. And then last month, our RV that we're living in was damaged. And the insurance, because we couldn't prove, we didn't have any paperwork to prove the condition of the RV before we bought it. We couldn't prove it. So the insurance company had 7 points of that they needed to in order to cover it, the expense. And I looked at all 7 of those points, and we qualified for 2 of them. And 5 of them, we didn't qualify, and those were the most important ones. So we thought, this is horrible, this is terrible. Thousands of dollars. And so the insurance man called me Thursday, and it said that the insurance was going to pay for the whole thing.
Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank
not
you,
only,
Jesus.
Not only the roof, but there was some damage inside the wall, so they're going to go in there and tear that out and find out if there's any damage there. They're basically going to give us a brand new RV.
Amen.
And it's not going to cost us hardly anything.
Praise
at all.
The Lord.
Praise God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Alan. All right. Isaiah, would you take that and bring it over to Jill with the red sweater on right here in front of you there, okay?
I'll be short. Last week when I came, the morning I came, before service even, the Lord spoke to me, and he said my mouth was an open tomb. And it just freaked me out. But I realized that I could be speaking negative about someone if I didn't agree with what they did, you know, in my mind or opening up. And that's what he was talking about. No backbiting or gossiping or negative speaking, you know, with your tongue you can bring life or death, I've always been taught. And so I wasn't even aware until the bomb hit, and I had been suffering with a backache and pain in the middle of the back, and I didn't even realize till Brad asked us to stand up, you know, if it was gone, and it was. So
Praise the Lord.
I asked for his forgiveness and to put a guard over my mouth, you know, and only speak uplifting and positive things, not negative.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else the Lord touched this week? Yes, Miss Pam.
But Larry came down from the computer yesterday and gave me some news that was very disturbing. And I was very heartsick over what happened in New York this week. If you don't know, it's terrible. And I thought, I want to move away. I hate this place. It's just awful. So many things and all the way the government's going and everything, it's a mess. And I went in, and I was doing something in the computer, and I turned on a podcast of a sermon that our son was preaching on the end times. He's talking about looking forward to heaven, and that's where we really need to dwell. And that totally changed it all, because if we're dwelling on the pain and the ugly and the bad things that are going on around us, that's what we're going to be living in, but we don't have to.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and turn that off. There's no one else. Oh, Mary.
Well, I asked a few weeks ago for the church to pray for my grandson.
I'm going to hold that for you because you always do this.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, to pray for my grandson because he was really deep in drugs. And he has some other little issues, and it didn't help any. Anyway, I asked you folks to pray for him. 3 days later, he sent me a text and said, Mom, I won't be seeing you or calling you for a bit. I've got to get a grip on this. I've got to get clean.
Praise the Lord.
And I couldn't believe it, because there have been several other little things like this. You want to say, oh, well, it's just a coincidence. But I have had so many things lately in my life. And just like my illness, it wasn't because I have pain, but some of my pain, it's going to take a little time, I think. But anyway, and then he's come over. He is getting clean. He is our grandson again. He talks so positive. He's got a new friend, and he wants love so bad, that boy. He never did too good with girls, but I am just so thrilled. All day long I go walking through the house, and I'll get negative. Everyone's like, oh, geez. Marilyn, get your head out of the clouds. You know, look what he's done. And I have been praying for him for so many years. And it's just, on my heart, is just totally related.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So I was reminded us after service last week, and I asked you, you know, if when you prayed, if there was any sin that came to mind that maybe contribute to the pain that's in your body. Because as we shared, the enemy likes to take opportunity to afflict us and infect us. And he does that oftentimes through open doors of sin in our own life. Jesus would often say this when healing would go forth. He would say, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Okay? Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying that every problem that you face is because of sin in your life. Okay? I'm not saying that if you're sick that there's sin in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that that could be a contributing factor. All right? Because we're going to find out in our reading today what God is looking for in our lives is holiness and righteousness. Holiness and righteousness. And sometimes these things come upon us so that we can go deeper with God and we can begin to take on the character of Christ in our own lives so that we can become what God has intended us to be from the very beginning of creation. Okay? So don't feel like, oh, God is just you know, beating up on me. No, there's a purpose for whatever thing you're going through. There's a purpose. And so we need to find out what God's purpose is. In your bulletin, how many of you have a bulletin this morning? All right. If you don't have one, Larry may can gift you one. Do you have any extra bulletins, Larry? Would you get up and get them, please? Okay. If you don't have a bulletin, there's an insert in the bulletin that you need to be that you need to have in your hands. So, Larry, would you stand up and start giving people, raising your hands? Anybody want a bulletin? Okay. All right. Isaiah, would you go help him, please? All right. So actually, what you have in your bulletin today is kind of like an outline of the sermon, and I don't know how far we'll get. And that's okay. But some of the things that you need to ask, if things are not going well for you, there's some things you need to ask the Lord. And I've listed some things here, and there may be some things that come to your mind, but these are some things that I ask the Lord. When things aren't going well, I begin to ask the Lord these questions. Number one, am I being persecuted because I'm a follower of God? Well, I mean, that is the reason for trouble in your life is because others don't like you as a Christian. But many times we don't have to face that issue. The second one is, am I suffering because I live in a fallen world? Okay. A third one is, am I being disciplined by God? Has God told me to do something that I'm unwilling to do? Is there sin in my life? A fourth one, is this a test? Is the character of Christ being formed in me through this trial? Am I growing in faith through this trial? Number five, am I under spiritual attack? And so this is what you're asking the Lord, and you're listening. We're supposed to, we sang a song a while ago, I will wait upon the Lord, I will wait upon the Lord. Many times when we're praying, we don't wait on the Lord. We just tell Him what we want. Then we get up and go about our business. Okay? And so what we need to do is spend less time talking and more time listening. Is God trying to teach me something? If so, what? Is it a combination of some of the reasons listed above? Or is it something else? Okay, you might want to put this in your Bible. Because dare say you might run into some problems in your life in the next day or two, week or two, year or two. Okay? And not always is the problems you're facing caused because of a disciplinary action. And so, again, questions you can ask. So we're going to go back today. I didn't finish last week with this topic. And so I've asked Isaiah, if he would, to read our focal passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. I'll hold this for you. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Why don't you stand up here?
And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom is a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you all have become partakers, then you are
illegitimate
and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and life? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness.
One more verse.
Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Thank you, Isaiah. You may be seated. There was a pastor one time who was out playing golf. It was on a Sunday. He missed church to do it. He was supposed to be preaching, but he loved his golf so much, he decided to go and play golf. And so first ball he hit, he made a hole in one. But he couldn't tell anybody. The Lord is gentle with us. If we continue in the correction. Now, as a young child, oftentimes correction just comes as a word of instruction. Son, don't touch that hot stove. Daughter, don't stick that knife in that electrical outlet. Okay? So it comes of words of instruction, but if we don't heed the instruction, then pain is going to be involved if we continue in that vein of disobedience. The Lord disciplines us sometimes, and we shared last week how He disciplines us. But I want you to understand that discipline is not the same as consequences. Okay? Discipline is not the same as consequences. If a Christian or a non-Christian misuses the finances that God has given them, they could go into bankruptcy. That's not God's punishment. That's just poor choices, perhaps. Sometimes the economy just tanks and nothing we can do about it. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes life happens. Perhaps a few weeks ago you read about this individual in the paper. On December the 28th, 2018, the Oregon State Police was called to Manzanita because there was a fella going door to door in the area trying to solicit sex from people. Well, the Manzanita Police Department arrived on the scene. And while Manzanita was contacting the subject, he got into his vehicle and fled the scene. The Manzanita Police Department was involved in a short pursuit after Pardo attempted to flee the scene. However, his escape efforts did not last long as Pardo drove off the road and crashed his Nissan Altima into a large pile of horse feces, ending the pursuit. With his vehicle stuck in the large pile of manure, Pardo had no way of escaping the police. Pardo then made a last-ditch effort to escape, pending jail time and a long list of charges. According to Manzanita Police Department, the subject then poured gasoline on himself and lit himself on fire while seated in the vehicle. Zapata said the driver managed to exit the vehicle and was taken into custody by the Manzanita Police Department. Pardo was then transported by ambulance to the Tillamook Regional Medical Center, where he was later transported to Legacy Emmanuel Medical Center that evening to treat his extensive injuries. The severity of his injuries and Pardo's current condition are not known at this time. Pardo's vehicle, which sat burnt and damaged in the pile of manure, was later towed away by a local towing company. Is that punishment from God? No. That's just consequences for crazy decisions. Trying to escape jail time, so I decided I'll pour gas on myself. And then, oftentimes people make horrible decisions and blame it on God, that God is treating me in one way or another. There's a difference between consequences and punishment. King David had an illicit relationship with a lady named Bathsheba. She was actually the wife of another man whose name was Uriah. The consequences were that he had a child by this lady. That's the consequences. He also decided, because she was pregnant, that he would murder the husband so no one would know that the child was his. Everyone would think it was Uriah's. Horrible decision. The consequences of which he tried to hide it up, cover it over, and it just got worse. But the Lord decided to discipline David. The scripture tells us that the child died. Not only did that child die, but one of David's sons rapes one of David's daughters. It's a half-sister. Because of that, Absalom then kills the half-brother that married, that raped Tamar. And eventually, Absalom then tries to take over the kingdom, and Absalom is killed because he was going contrary to what the kingdom had suggested. David didn't want him killed, but that's punishment. That's not consequences. That's punishment. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of his flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." We read about discipline in the Hebrews passage, and discipline means tutorage, education or training. By implication, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, and nurture. So God chastens, and his chastening hurts. Okay? So that's the second point this morning. If you're using your outline, the word there is hurts. Chastening or disciplining hurts. We shared last week that there are several ways that the Lord chastens his children or disciplines them, corrects them. One is conviction of the Holy Spirit. A second one is sharp reproof. A third one is he withdraws the Holy Spirit. A fourth one is pain and disease. Okay? Now, somebody said, well, God doesn't bring on disease to his children. So let's just look at that for just a minute. Okay? A more accurate way of saying that is that sometimes if we choose to follow the devil and play in his playground, then the Lord turns us over to the devil. Okay? Does that make sense? And it's the devil who then brings about disease and those kind of things. Now, God gives them permission to do that. God is sovereign. But oftentimes, he will allow the enemy to do harm to his children. Look, if you would, at we're going to look at an Old Testament passage in 1 Samuel 16, and then we're going to look at a another passage in the New Testament. 1 Samuel 16:14, and this is Saul, the king Saul. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul because of rebellion. God had told him to do some things, and Saul said, I'm not going to do it. I've got a better plan. I'm going to do it my way. It said, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Okay? He said, if you don't want the Holy Spirit, then here's what you're going to get. And he turns him over, and there are things that are going on in Saul's life, and the NLT says there's some problems with depression and fear. And I would just suggest to you, if there's depression and fear in your life, it may be because you're in disobedience to the Lord in some area. Okay? So my suggestion is, if you don't want to live in depression and fear, and you know that that's the cause, repent. It's easy to say, God, forgive me. I don't want to go down that road anymore. Also, in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, Corinth, the church of Corinth, was a bed of immorality. That's one of the reasons Paul, all in Corinthian church, he's always correcting them. And there was a situation in the church of Corinth. And it says that it's actually, Paul is writing to the church, he says, it's actually reported that there is immorality among you. An immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You've become arrogant, have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in the body but present in the spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, though his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So Paul said, I've decided, and I'm sure it was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to turn this guy over to Satan. This guy was having sexual relations with his stepmom. Okay? And it was going on in the church, and the church wasn't saying anything, just turning a blind eye. And some of them were even rejoicing in the fact, this passage says. They didn't see a problem with it. Paul said, I've determined that I'm going to turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his soul will be saved or his spirit will be saved. In the end, let me ask you a question. Is God more concerned about your physical well-being or your spiritual well-being? What are you more concerned about? I believe in healing. I believe God's touching. We've had some wonderful testimonies this morning. But I believe with all my heart that God is willing to sacrifice our physical well-being if it's going to build up our spirit. I believe that with all my heart. Matter of fact, in this passage of Scripture, so the word flesh, read here in verse 5, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Some translations say fleshly desires. Some translations just mention flesh. Now, the Greek word for that is sarx, S-A-R-X. And it could actually be both. It could be either the flesh, your body, or it could be your fleshly appetites. It's used for both in Scripture. I want you to hear me. God is more concerned about your spiritual well-being than he is at your physical well-being. And if he sees that because you're not walking in holiness, I'm not walking in righteousness, that he needs to get my attention and he needs to get me back on track, he could turn us over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Pain, suffering, disease, you name it. Here's the deal. How long you stay in that condition is your choice. Matter of fact, we read in 2 Corinthians where God says to, and it doesn't give the situation, it doesn't give the name of the guy or anything like this, but he says the guy that you put out, he's repented now, bring him back in. Bring him back in. So here's what I see in this passage of Scripture. God is willing for you to suffer physically and even die so that your soul, so that your spirit will be saved. Is that a loving God or what? He says, I want you as my child. You are my child. And I want to have a loving relationship with you. But if you choose not to have that relationship and you keep going your own way, then he could turn you over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that your soul will be saved and your soul will go to heaven. Okay? Do you see any other interpretation in that passage of Scripture? Part of it is the fleshly appetites. If God wants to use Satan to destroy the fleshly appetites, praise the Lord. Oftentimes, Satan attacks us and it's like, oh, I don't want any more of that. I'm going to turn back to the Lord. I don't know if that's what happened to TJ some years ago, but he wanted to share a little bit this morning about how the Lord has disciplined him. All right, go ahead and just get behind maybe this mic right over here.
This is back in 1999. I was 19 back then. I was basically given two choices. I was either able to continue going to college or my girlfriend at that time, her family told me I could move up and live with her. And being 19, it was like, oh yeah, that sounds great. I'll go ahead and move in with her, live with my girlfriend. That's the idea. Yeah, so that's what the choice I made. Not the greatest idea, but hey, whatever. That's what the 19-year-old mind decided to do. Oh, so I moved in with my girlfriend and life ended up not going the right direction anymore. Even though I had been traveling with God since I was 10, I just totally turned around and went a different direction. I didn't care that she was 16 and I was 19. It didn't matter to me anymore. We just went to church and youth group to waste more time through during the week as such. I was started having sex for the first time with her as such. She taught me how to actually steal from stores as such without getting caught. We convinced strangers to go into stores and buy alcohol for us and such and do other things like that. It was not a good time for the few months I lived up there with her. So near the end of my time up there, or something apparently I did, they decided I needed to leave and they kicked me out of the house. I totally believe that it was her mother, or that it was all her mother's decision that she kicked me out. So I decided that I would find some way to stay there, stay in the area, and convince my girlfriend that she didn't want to get rid of me and such. So I lived in my car for 2 weeks while I'd try to find a place up there to convince her that she didn't want to get rid of me, and she didn't want to lose me as such. It was not the smart. I was totally not thinking anything but what I wanted and what I was going to do. That all was my thing. And so after about the 2 weeks in my car and all that, I was like, this is just going nowhere. So I finally decided I needed to head back to my parents' house. And so I started to leave and head back home, and I never got out of the Seattle area. Something happened. I blacked out on the way somewhere in the middle of Seattle, and 4 days later I was in the hospital. They said I drove in front of a Metro bus. I had 3 fractured vertebrae, 90% of the muscles on my left side was not working correctly. 75% of my muscles on the left side was not working correctly, and my short-term memory was permanently lost. I've still not gotten my short-term memory back at all. They still say I'll never receive that back. But when my parents finally picked me up and brought me home, I realized that I was walking away from God. I had not been walking with Him since I had moved up there. And the only way I would get anything back that I had lost in that accident was to solely walk with Him again.
So, now I can hear me. So that was God's love. And God loves you enough to not allow you to go too far. Okay? One thing that we find out in this passage of Scripture, that the Father only disciplines His children. He doesn't discipline people who aren't His children. He only disciplines His children. Just like when I was caught 6 years old, smoking cigarettes, my dad disciplined me, but he didn't discipline all those other kids I was with, because they weren't His children. Now, He might have wanted to, but He didn't do it because they were not His children. And Scripture says this: if you can go along and pretend like you don't know Christ and continue in sinfulness and God doesn't discipline you, you're not His child. That's what this passage says. You're not His child. Love is the Father's motive for discipline. A dad or mom, if they love their children, they're not going to just let them do anything they want to. They're going to discipline them. They're going to correct them. They're going to try to bring them in line. But you know, sometimes kids, you do everything you can, and kids decide they just don't want to go that way anyway. What are you going to do? Just let them go. What else can you do? You just let them go. And at some time, you hope that they will return to you and return to the Lord. You need to understand this. Disciplining is not abuse. There can be some discipline that is abuse. When I was a teenager, I went one night to spend with my friend Willie. I just spent the night with him, and somehow he got in trouble. I don't remember why, but his dad came in and started whipping him with a fishing rod. I didn't go stay with Willie anymore. Later on, Willie was put in the penitentiary. I think part of that is because he did not have the loving discipline of the Lord. There's a loving or of his father. There is a way to discipline in love. And Scripture says that we're not to, as parents, we're not to cause our children to get angry. So that means that we can't be angry when we're disciplining them. Discipline brings reward. Holiness and right living. And having the fear of God is not the same as being afraid of God. There's a passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 21, and I'm going through this really fast. I see you're getting hungry. Exodus 20, 18 through 21. So this was during the time Moses and the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. It says, when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horns, and they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. This was when God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments, giving him the law. They said to Moses, "You speak to us, we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we'll die." Moses said to them, "Don't be afraid. For God has come in this way to test you, and so that you fear Him and will keep you from sinning." As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. The Israelites were afraid to approach God. They were afraid of God. But they didn't have the fear of the Lord. Moses had the fear of the Lord. And he began to approach God and was able to do that because of the fear of the Lord in him. Does that make sense to you? There's a healthy fear of God and there's an unhealthy fear of God. And God is saying to each of us that he wants us to fear him but not be afraid of him. He wants us to approach him and not move from him. Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you just like you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Okay? God loves you. It's very possible today that some of you have been running from the Lord. You've just been running. You know God wants you. There's something God wants you to do, and you just choose not to do it. You're going against him. You're rebelling against him. Would you this morning make a decision to turn to him? Would you this morning make a decision to repent of your rebellion and come back to the Lord? We're going to open the altar for prayer. I'm going to be standing here up front. If you need to talk to someone, if you need something, Scripture says in James chapter 5, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing him with oil, and confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. Maybe there's some things going on in your life financially. Maybe there's some things going on in your life physically. And you've recognized this morning it's because that you're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit and not following him. We're going to give you an opportunity to get your heart right with God and move out from under the chastening of the Lord. Father, we come before you today. And Lord, what we want is a healthy fear of you.